So this morning, I'm just going to do a little bit of cutting on the go here because the mind can only handle take in what the seat can endure. As and I'm the same way as you. You know, if I sit down in church, it's you know I can't sit there for much longer than about 20, 25 minutes without my mind drifting, unless I'm really engaged by learning something I didn't know before. So I get that. So I'm just kind of figuring out where I should start and what I should leave for next week. Kind of a tough decision because it's all equally bad. No. Turn with me to Galatians 1. We'll start with Galatians 1. I'm going to skip my introduction and we're just going to dive into the scripture here. And I'm just going to move through this kind of phase by phase on a timeline. I mentioned to you last week that we would look at this timeline this week of how the basics of the gospel turned into a took on a creedal form, and then we can trace the gospel in that form from the time of the cross into the time of Paul's ministry. And we looked at 1 Corinthians 15 last week, and 1 Corinthians was written in 55 AD, and so that's where Paul relays this creed that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised from the dead according to the scriptures. That was the basic creed, the gospel message. That's just the heart that Paul passed on to them. He wrote that in 55 AD in the letter of 1 Corinthians. And he first spoke that message to them in 51 AD. Well, we can go back and trace even farther back than that. We can get all the way back to the time of the cross. We can fill in that gap. Why are we concerned about that gap? Because there are skeptics who would argue that, okay, well, this whole idea of resurrection, you know, since people don't rise from the dead, that's just a story, a legend, a myth, or whatever that was made up later on in order to reinforce, to help propagate this Christian movement, which was some sort of branch of Judaism. And or an effort to reform Judaism or whatever they want to call it. And so this resurrection idea was made up later to try to fit it. The Jesus as a character was made up later to try to fit that. That's a common argument among skeptics. But that argument gets blown to pieces when you can take the gospel message about the resurrection and see how it was formed as a creed. And you can trace that in history. And we're tracing that by looking at Paul's writings, and we're using the letters of Paul that skeptics accept as having some historical authority. And I'll talk a little more about that next week because I'm skipping some things this morning. But in Galatians 1, we're going to just stick with the book of Galatians this morning. End of Galatians 1, first part of Galatians 2. Galatians 1, verse 15, Paul says, "But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles," here's the key, "I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away to Arabia and returned again to Damascus." We'll stop right there. So you remember, Paul had this experience on the road to Damascus, and Jesus appeared to him. Some say knocked him off his high horse. We don't have evidence that he was riding a horse, but be that as it may, he saw the risen Christ. And he arrives in Damascus. As we know, he was baptized, and then we lose track of him in the book of Acts for a little bit. And so in Galatians here, he tells us what he did. He left Damascus, okay? he did not go consult anyone, okay? He makes a point of saying that. He didn't go tell the Jewish religious leaders that he was working with about this. Why? Well, of course, because they wanted him to round up and put to death Christians. That was his mission. So he can't go tell them about this experience when he saw the resurrected Christ, because they're going to try to tell him, oh, well, you know what, Paul, you're seeing things. Maybe the heat's getting to you. You know, you got to stick with your mission. He knows they're going to try to convince him otherwise. So he doesn't go talk to them. He also doesn't go talk to the Christian apostles like Peter and James and John and the others. Why wouldn't he want to go talk to them immediately? Well, if you think about it, he's probably a little suspicious. And if he goes and says, well, you know, I think I saw the risen Lord, and he explains what he saw, then they might say, well, yeah, that was Jesus, of course. You know, now you're on our side. Uh-huh. So he doesn't want to get sucked into some bowl of Christian flakes. And they just affirm what he experienced and say, yeah, you're on our side, so now you can't kill Christians anymore. So you see the dynamics that could be happening there. Paul's having to navigate this situation. It puts him in a unique situation. So what does he do? He just leaves. He just goes out into Arabia for a few years. And so later on then, after the whole mess settles down, he goes back to Damascus. He disappears for a while. Now, when did this happen? Well, even scholars who are skeptics, not Christians, but study the New Testament, I know that might sound kind of weird, but we'll talk about that next week, they agree that his experience on the road to Damascus happened only about 2 years after the cross. So if we say the crucifixion happened about 30 AD, then this would have happened about 32 AD. We're using some rough dates here, but it was about 2 years, may have been a little less, a little more, right in that range. So if we continue in Galatians 1, 18 and 19, so you can imagine that this, when Paul had that experience on the road to Damascus, he's realizing that, yes, Jesus is risen from the dead, okay? He's realizing that that's true, whereas before he didn't believe that, and it was that fact that made the change in his life. So Galatians 1, 18 and 19, he says, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. So again, Paul speaks to no one about what he saw for 3 years, at least not the Pharisees he worked with before and not the apostles. He doesn't speak to anybody in authority, should specify that, anybody in authority about his experience for 3 years. And then he goes to see Cephas, which is Peter. And it also so happens that he sees James also when he's in Jerusalem. But that's it. Those are the only people he talked to. The other apostles must have been off doing ministry. So that's about 3 years after that Damascus Road experience. So where does that put us? That puts us 35 AD, right in there. Now, what do you think they talked about at that meeting? There's a Greek word in verse 18, and the Greek word is hysteresi. And yes, you might recognize the root there. It's where we get the word history. But its meaning at that time is much more specific than that. It means to interview to obtain truth. Now, if you read in the ESV here, it uses the word visit. He says, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas. The King James translates it as see. I went up to Jerusalem to see Cephas or Peter. Neither of those words really do the job. Hysteresi means to interview to obtain truth. So he didn't just go up there to, you know, sit down and have coffee and pie with these guys, okay? He went there with a purpose, and it was to interview them. So what is he trying to obtain? What truth is he trying to obtain? Okay, well, in this passage in Galatians here, Paul is speaking about Jesus appearing to him on the road to Damascus. That was the topic. That would have been front and center in Paul's mind. That experience was the reason that he had to fly under the radar for a little while to begin with. He had to avoid the authority figures on either side, and he just had to figure this out, process this for himself for a little while. Okay, so what do you think they talked about in this meeting? Now, if I was Paul, you know, you don't want to put all your cards out on the table yet. If I was Paul, I would have asked Peter and James, I'll tell you what I saw on the road to Damascus. If you first tell me what you saw 3 days after the crucifixion, what did you see? What did he look like? What did he say? Paul went to hystereisai, to interview, to obtain truth. He wants to find out what they saw, what happened, how things unfolded, and compare that to what he experienced on the road to Damascus. Now here's, if you go to jump down a couple of verses to Galatians 1 verse 23, there was some interesting news going around. So Paul wasn't speaking to authority figures about his experience, but he was preaching. He did start preaching. He says, and this is referring to what Peter and James and the other apostles were hearing. It says, they were only hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. Verse 24, and they glorified God because of me. So after Paul's had a chance to process what he experiences, he starts preaching that Jesus has risen from the dead. And the people that are hearing his message recognize this as the same message that the apostles, Peter and James and John and the others had also been preaching. They recognize that they're the same. And so word gets back then to the other apostles that this guy, Paul, evidently has had a huge change in his life, and now he's preaching this faith that he was trying to destroy. He was bound and determined to destroy. And so he goes and meets with Peter and James. Of course, the resurrection is going to come up. The gospel is going to come up. The messages that they are preaching are going to come up. Okay, it was hystereisai, interview to obtain truth. Okay. Paul wants to know what happened to them. They probably want to know what happened to Paul. If we go to Galatians 2, the first two verses, it says, then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles, in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. Okay, so remember, Paul is a scholar. Okay, so he's going to want to get the facts straight. He's going to want to make sure that the things that are true are passed on faithfully, that he's teaching the right thing. So after his 3 years. Three-year time gap after he goes up to visit Peter and James after 3 years. They talk about the gospel. They compare notes and realize that, yeah, we've all seen the risen Christ. He's died and risen from the dead. And here's what this means. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and raised from the dead according to the scriptures. That was the message. So they get that straight. And now we see here again, 14 years later, after that initial meeting, he's going back. So after he's had time in ministry, he's going back to confirm with them that they are still preaching the same thing. He wants to make sure that he's preaching the right thing so he doesn't run in vain. He doesn't want to waste his life preaching the wrong thing. And if you look at the book of Galatians, Galatians is about the basic gospel. Here it is. Don't mess it up. You can't get there some other way. It's by grace through faith in the death and resurrection of Christ. That's it. Bottom line. And Paul says it's not just my gospel. This is the gospel. If you go to verse 6 of Galatians 2, just a note, when he talks about those who seemed influential, he's referring to Peter, James, the other apostles, okay? So he goes to them privately to make sure they're all on the, still, he's preaching the right thing. They're on the same page. Here's the key words are at the end of verse 6. He says, from those who seem to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. Added nothing to me. Key words here. So Paul was saying he consulted with the other apostles to make sure that he was on track, that he wasn't off in some way in his preaching, in his understanding of the gospel, that he wasn't lacking anything. And what's the result of that meeting? They added nothing to me. Verse 9. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They said, okay, we got the gospel right. It's the same gospel. Great. You guys are in. Now let's go reach the world. And off they go. They told Paul that he's right on. And back in 1 Corinthians 15:11, Paul said that they were right on target with the gospel. You might remember it said, whether then it was I or they, so we preach and so you believe. Whether it's I or they, he's saying they're preaching the same gospel. It's the same creed. And we saw that creed in 1 Corinthians 15, which said, again, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, was raised from the dead according to the scriptures. You don't like Paul, talk to Peter. You don't like Peter, talk to James or John. Whoever you talk to, you're going to get the same thing. So what Paul is doing here is verifying for us that that the gospel, which was put into a creedal form, is something that they verified with each other at specific times. And so we can trace that. We see Paul's experience on the road to Damascus. Jesus appears to him right about 32 AD. He goes back and meets with the apostles. That would have been 3 years later, about 35 AD. And then 14 years later, he goes back and meets with them again after 14 years of ministry. That gets us to 49 AD. And that's only 2 years away from when he first preached to the Corinthians in 51 AD. So we can see this gospel in this creedal form being confirmed at important points on a timeline. And what it does then is it narrows those gaps, and no longer can you say, well, this resurrection idea was made up later in order to fit with some Christian propaganda and Christian ideas, these weird, different new Jewish ideas. No, the Christian message, Christian theology was a result of something amazing, something miraculous that happened. Jesus appeared to his disciples after he rose from the dead, and it was that message that brought that life transformation. And we can see that message put into the form of a creed, and something that is short, that is memorable, and was easily passed on. And of course, it would have been memorable not only because it was short and because it had a rhythm to it in the Greek, but because it was so powerful. We sang the hymn, I love to tell the story. Why do we love to tell it? Because of what it's done for us. Not just because it is a really amazing story, not only because it's a true story, but because of the impact it's had in our lives. That's why they passed it on. That's why we pass it on today. And it is so incredible to me that we can trace that historically, even in just the letters of Paul, even using only the letters that people who are not Christians, scholars who are not Christians, will recognize as authoritative sources of history. It is so amazing that God would not only send his only son to die and rise for us, but that he would leave something we can trace historically to say, you know what, this is real. This happened. This is the core of our faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for your word. Thank you for giving us something that we can read for ourselves that shows us not only the gospel and what it means, but that this gospel that has changed our lives is directly a result of something that really happened on this earth. Lord, I pray that this would increase our faith, encourage us in our faith, and help us as we bear witness to your death and resurrection. In your name we pray. Amen.